What kind of debts do I have? A car note, several credit cards.
I basically just have one debt. It's left over from my divorce.
I actually have no debt right now. I'm paranoid about debt, actually.
Large debt. I have, of course, mortgage for a home, car, notes.
I have a mortgage, and I have some credit card debt.
That's Kyle Carruthers, Jennifer Geilig, Claire Wild, and Anna Lacey talking about debt, a fact of life for most Americans. Collectively, we owe $1.7 trillion. That's trillion with a T, roughly the gross national products of England and Russia combined.
Over the next 3 days, we're going to take a look at the role debt plays in American life. We start today with a story about one couple whose borrowing got the better of them. Here's NPR's Scott Horsley.
Ann Dixon used to dread payday. Even before the money came in, she could see it disappearing. House payment, car payments, and all those credit card bills. She'd breathe a sigh of relief each month if she managed to make the required minimum payments, but a few weeks later, the cycle would begin all over again, with more credit card bills, even larger than before.
And I used to call up and say, there's no way I could have charged $1,000. And then they're like laughing, you cannot believe how many people call up and say, there's no way I used this card this many times.
But Anne and her husband Terry had. Those aren't their real names, by the way. She's a travel agent. He's in the Navy. Together, they earn more than $50,000 a year after taxes. Soon after they were married, the Dixons bought a modest 2-bedroom home in a suburb of San Diego, and Anne started shopping for things to decorate the house. Often on her lunch hour, Anne would come to this Target store and walk the aisles of the home furnishing section. She'd fill her shopping cart with window treatments, table linens, and color-coordinated towels.
It's pretty sad when the girls from Target and Walmart, they know your first name. That means you've been there way too many times.
The aisles of a discount store might not seem like a place to run up big debts, but little by little, the Dixons' bills mounted. Not just Target, but department stores, Visa, American Express. Like bartenders serving a big drinker, the creditors were happy to bankroll Anne's shopping habit.
They never said no. I'd go to Nordstrom, go to JCPenney, whatever. I always convinced myself, we'll get this credit card, this Visa, just for emergencies. Well, we fill up this card, and all of a sudden we had to use the Visa for the emergency purposes of buying, you know, groceries or something. By the time you know it, the bills were just outrageous.
The Dixons were determined not to file for bankruptcy. Instead, they sought help from a credit counseling agency. By that time, they had 18 different credit cards with balances totaling more than $57,000. That's about 13 times the average couple's credit card debt, but it's certainly not unique. Thanks to the widespread availability of credit, many people borrow even more. Financial consultant Sharon Peterson recalls a couple who thought they had $40,000 in credit card debt. Turns out they actually had closer to $90,000.
And these are people that are professionals, making good incomes, but they just didn't want to face up what they were doing.
Despite the recent rise in consumer borrowing, Americans still spend about the same fraction of their income on debt payments as they did 20 years ago. Even so, many people are digging themselves into a debt hole. Personal bankruptcies jumped 8% last year to a record 1.5 million filings. Peterson says it's rarely the big purchases that get people in trouble because they tend to think carefully about those. Rather, it's an accumulation of small, casual purchases.
One of the examples that I've used in the past is a client that bought lattes typically 3 times a day, 7 days a week. It was an indulgence. She felt she deserved that. And it added up to almost $500 a month.
Of course, rich people can afford to spend somewhat more without worrying about it. But Peterson has counseled plenty of rich clients who spent beyond their means.
People with a lot of income feel entitled to spending. They feel like, I'm making a lot of money. I should be able to buy these things. And then suddenly, they get to the point where they start realizing that, you know, we have a lot of debt here.
As the Dixons' debts mounted, Anne started losing sleep. Terry started losing his hair. Even a simple night out became a nail-biting ordeal for the couple, hoping their maxed-out credit cards would cover just one more restaurant meal.
And who wants to live like that? I mean, that's stress enough just to go out. You're supposed to go out and have a good time. Which you really don't, because once you give that credit card, you're praying that they're going to come back with a slip of paper to sign instead of with a credit card and say, sir, you know, I need another credit card. And that's the most embarrassing thing when you just don't have enough funds in your credit card, especially when it's only like $20 or $30.
The Dixons finally cut up their credit cards and with the help of a counselor, negotiated a plan to repay all the money that they owed. It took a little over 3 years to do so. Ann Dixon now has just one debit card, and she's sleeping a whole lot better.
Now I have my little book. I write down how much we make. I pay all the bills first as soon as the paycheck comes in, and whatever's left over is what we get to spend. I never did that before. You know, I never knew where our money was going, and now I know exactly where it goes.
For the first time in 13 years of marriage, some of the Dixons' money is going to savings. Ann worries about a young nephew, though, who got his first credit card when he was 14 years old. Scott Horsley, NPR News, San Diego.
I'm Olivia Mellon. I'm a psychotherapist who specializes in money problems with couples and with individuals. The couples who come to see me who are polarizing and fighting about money are almost always dealing with debt. They feel like they've deeply failed, that they're under the eight ball, that they'll never be out. It's very depressing. The first thing I tell couples is that they should not feel overly ashamed that they are in debt because they are in very good company. And then you can move on to dealing with the actual money issues, how the debt was incurred, and what to do about paying it off.
Consumer debt has fueled the growth of a number of industries, among them debt collection. In the year 2000, more than 6,500 collection agencies tried to track down $135 billion in unpaid debt, nearly double the amount placed for collection a decade earlier. And as anyone who has ever gotten behind in paying a bill can testify, this is the kind of phone call you never want to get.
This is Michelle at Mad Collection Agency, and I'm calling about your balance due. If I don't hear from you by the end of today, this is going to go to our legal department, and we're just going to run it through small claims court.
My name's Michelle Dunn, and I own Mad Collection Agency, so I'm a bill collector, so I don't have any friends.
Michelle Dunn doesn't fit the stereotypical image of the debt collector. A 36-year-old divorced mother of two, she's slender, attractive, and giggles a lot. But beneath her girlish exterior, she's tough and determined, two qualities a debt collector can't do without. Dunn works out of her home in Plymouth, New Hampshire, a small New England college town that looks just the way you'd expect New England to look.
How about a roll of stamps? That would work.
$37, please.
The post office in nearby Holderness is in a small white clapboard building overlooking Lake Winnipesaukee. Dunn stops here every day to pick up her mail, mostly looking for payments.
Are you raking in all kinds of money today?
I hope so.
Dunn started her business 4 years ago because she wanted more time at home with her children. As credit manager for a local company, she knew something about the debt collection business. Over the last 4 years, she's built a nationwide client base, mostly through the internet. But a substantial part of her business is local, and sometimes collecting debts in a small town can be tricky.
The guy that I'm seeing right now, I repossessed his truck.
Dunn didn't know him at the time. The romance began later. But running into people she knows who do owe money is not an uncommon experience.
And I've had people in the grocery store yell across the aisles, "Michelle, I'm going to send you $200 next Friday." It happened to me in the grocery store. I was with my kids, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. Of course, everyone's looking at me now like, you know, I'm thinking they're like, oh, that's that girl. You know.
Such encounters are bound to be awkward because people don't want anyone to know they are in debt. And Dunn is used to the idea that no one ever wants to take her call.
I hear them. I hear a kid, "Mom, it's Michelle at Mad Agency." And then sometimes they'll just take the phone and hang it up without saying anything. Or they'll say to the kid, "Tell her I'm not home." You know, they don't want to talk to you. And I think part of the reason they don't want to talk to you is if they don't have any money, they feel bad about that. And they don't want to tell somebody that. It makes them feel worse.
So there's a great deal of shame that goes along with being in debt.
Yeah, and I think other people think down on people that owe money, that have collection agencies calling them.
After stopping at the post office, Dunn sits in her car opening envelopes, hoping that checks will fall into her lap.
This one's $34.
Dunn gets between 25% to 50% of the money she collects, and some of the debts she's chasing are pretty small time.
$9.55. Let's not get too excited.
It's small.
Yeah. It hardly seems worth pursuing such small debts, but Dunn insists it is.
I think it's the principle of it
What's the principle?
A lot of the people that place accounts with me, they say to me, you know what, I don't even care if you don't get this money, but I really want you to try because I want this person to know that I'm not just going to sit back and let them get away with this.
The next stop, the Northern Lakes Veterinary Hospital, is in another clapboard house, this one nestled against a stand of tall, snow-laden pine trees. Dunn is here to pick up a list of the people who owe money to the vet. The office manager warns Dunn that one client might be a little rough, and she tells her where she might find another.
She works at the Plymouth Elementary School.
Okay.
The vet, Dr. Donald Lester, says small debts add up in a business like his, especially if you count the time spent trying to track people down. That's why he decided to use a debt collector. Dr. Lester says he understands that people sometimes can't pay their bills, but sometimes, he says, they simply won't pay them. And that, says Dr. Lester, is disillusioning.
You like to be able to trust everybody. You like to think of people as being good. And when that happens to you, you know, you get this feeling for the next guy walking through the door is going to stick me with the bill, you know. And you don't want to think that way. So it disappoints you.
Michelle Dunn says she too understands that the people she's chasing are often going through a bad time, an illness, a divorce, a lost job. She understands what it is to owe money because she's been there. So she says she's more than willing to work with people to help them clear up their debts.
I've had some young girls that live in low-income housing and have a little kid, aren't getting their child support, are on welfare, and they say, I can't even buy milk. I can't send you $5. And I say to them, do you think you can borrow $5 from your mother just so you can make a good faith payment so I can tell this creditor, look, she paid $5 and she's really trying. The people that are really honest and sincere, they do it.
When do you get really tough?
When they lie to me and they don't do what they say they're going to do. If I'm offering you to pay $5 a month and you say you're going to and then you don't, I'm not going to have any sympathy for you anymore.
Michelle Dunn, debt collector. If you hear her voice on the other end of the phone, don't bother hanging up. She'll just call again and again and again.
Most of the people I know are in debt, some to the tune of $19,000, $17,000.
Being in debt, oh, they come after you. God, they never leave you alone.
It's very tough to stay out of debt in this society because you can't cough up $20,000 for a car, so, you know, you're kind of forced to go into debt. I mean, only the very rich can stay out of debt, and even they're in debt.
Mark Shaver, Richard Ecker, and Jennifer Geilig.